Free to Rest Commentary for the August 21st, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Our lesson this week focuses on the story of Elijah and Mount Carmel, found in 1 Kings chapter 18. It is a dramatic story. God's people seem to be in decline in Israel under heavy persecution from the prophets of Baal, backed politically by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Likely, Jezebel was a greater supporter of the apostasy, for she was not a Jew, but a daughter of the king of Tyre, Ithabaal. According to Josephus, citing Menander of Ephesus, Ithabaal was a priest before he became king. This may have provided the foundation for his daughter's religious zealotry on behalf of Baal, and may have been impetus for Ahab to accept Baal worship, to marry her. Even today, we see individuals convert to their fiancé's faith to have a religious wedding ceremony. We get the impression that Elijah is alone in opposition to the spread of Baal worship, and he even seems to believe that. But in the previous chapter, we are told that Obadiah reported to Elijah that 100 other worshippers of God were being kept safe by him in two caves. And God reveals to Elijah in response to his lament that 7,000 are still faithful. The fact is that we are never alone when we are in a relationship with God. Elijah had little basis for feeling abandoned. He stood on Mount Carmel in opposition to the hundreds of prophets of Baal. Those who would have looked down on the lonely prophet as being of little account were proven grossly wrong. The prophets of Baal were challenged to bring down fire from their god onto their sacrificial altar. They could not, for their religion was one of political expediency to justify the power of kings and pagan priests. Their god did not exist. We should remember that whenever anyone tries to use religion to exercise power and control over another. They are worshiping their own desire for power to the detriment of everyone else. When those pagan priests exhausted themselves with no result, Elijah built a stone altar, placed wood upon it, and thoroughly soaked the wood with water. Then he called upon God to ignite the sacrifice. When he did, God not only burned the sacrifice, but also the altar and the ground around the altar. Seeing the power of God over Baal affirmed, the people killed the prophets of Baal, inciting the ire of Jezebel against Elijah. After such a display of God's power over Baal worship, we have a tough time imagining how Elijah could flee in fear before Jezebel. But are we any better at placing our trust in God and finding rest in that trust? Do we not claim to trust God, but still find ourselves frustrated and anxious over dozens of trivial things every day? When I was in the Army in Alaska, a lieutenant colonel commanding the infantry battalion I was in wanted to send me to prison over my faith in Christ. He reduced me in rank, docked my pay, and bluntly told me if I continued to practice my faith, he would send me to the military prison of Leavenworth, Kansas, in chains. Thanks to the help of my company commander, the Department of the Army intervened. To forestall that intervention, the battalion commander attempted to send me out with the artillery battery deep into the tundra where an accident might happen. I was the medic supporting the paratrooper company, but the lieutenant colonel demanded me by name to provide medical support for the artillery battery. This set off all sorts of alarms because the platoon leader always made medic support assignments, not the battalion commander. I could not disobey the order because, while inappropriate, it was not illegal. I packed my gear and medical supplies and went to the airstrip to go with the artillery battery into the field by Chinook helicopter. The atmosphere was tense and quiet, showing that something unusual was afoot. When we were loading the last howitzer onto the helicopter, the medical platoon leader came running across the tarmac. When he reached us, he threw a satchel of medical supplies at one of the artillerymen and told them they would have to provide for their own medical needs. Then, turning to me, he told me that the Department of the Army had ordered my immediate honorable discharge in view of the persecution. Many had been praying on my behalf during all of this. Not only did this discharge likely save my life, but it also happened just in time to enroll in the theology school at Walla Walla College. But like Elijah, after his Mount Carmel experience, my faith was immediately challenged. When I arrived at the college, I was told there were no openings in married student housing, and the waiting list for an opening was long. I would need to wait another year. Puzzled that things did not seem to be working out, I moved to the Puget Sound area and began working as a salesperson. 2 weeks later, I received a call late at night telling me that married student housing had an opening. But there was a catch. To enroll for the current term, I would need to complete an English class placement exam being given the next morning. I drove most of the night to arrive in time for the exam, completed it, and enrolled in fall classes for 1975. While I was tempted to see only barriers, God parted the sea for me. Despite many challenges since, I have enjoyed years of growth in faith and development of trust in God through similar experiences. However, I do not want to give the impression that God is like Superman, always arriving just in time to save the day. My first wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis shortly after I entered the pastoral ministry. While there are medical interventions for that now, there was little that could be done then. Despite prayers and anointing, she eventually succumbed to the disease. It was a tragic time for our family. How does one deal with those times when the prayers go unanswered and the heavens seem like brass? For some, they take this as evidence that there is no God. They claim that putting the concept of God behind them is a sign of maturity, just like discarding the legitimacy of tales about Easter bunnies or tooth fairies. But is it maturity to expect God to come running every time we feel the need to snap our fingers? What a small God that would be, not even able to free himself from our demands. Even if we could do that, how long would it be before our demands grew increasingly trivial? We hear of stories about children praying for bicycles, but would we pray for God to provide a candy bar or an ice cream cone? If not, why not? The principle seems the same. Most parents do not give their children candy and ice cream every day. Even though the children may not understand why they are being denied, the parents, in their wisdom and greater experience, know it is better for the child's health to go easy on the treats, even in the face of a nuclear toddler meltdown in the middle of the grocery store aisle. One might consider this the dramatic version of an adult's rejection of God when prayer goes unanswered, when our Heavenly Father acts as a spiritual parent to us instead of a miracle vending machine. Still, this can be a hard concept to find rest in. What if God is not there when I really, really need him? While we cannot even see what is around the next corner, we too often obsess about a future we cannot see. Even when we claim to have entrusted that future to God, our anxieties keep pushing us to take control of the situation and prepare for things that may never happen. An extreme example of this would be a Christian who surrounds themselves with weapons and ammo, years of dehydrated food, and survival gear. But despite this prepping for an expected apocalypse, they do not feel the rest, the peace that Christ offers. Instead, they expect society to collapse and that hordes of whatever enemy they have conjured in their mind will come to do them in. When faced with a temptation to think like that, I remember the story of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their story is found in Daniel chapter 3, ordered to bow down before a huge golden idol by King Nebuchadnezzar, they declined. He told them that if they would not, he would burn them to cinders in a brick kiln. Their response showed that they were familiar with unanswered prayers and that they were committed to a relationship to God despite that. They told the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." When we are tempted to anxiety instead of rest in God, we can look to how he has cared for us in the past. This was not the first time God had spared the three young Hebrews. They were faced with a death decree before over a dream the king had. That experience may have informed the faith they displayed before the fiery furnace. But even without those experiences, God offers us rest through relationship with him. If we come to him in prayer and give our anxieties to him, he will give us that rest. Prayer is not about format or body position. It is simply talking to God as to a close friend, sharing your heart with someone you trust. It can change your life. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the print version of this commentary, along with the footnotes giving scripture references, as well as hundreds of other commentaries like it, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.